continue to receive these first readings from the prophet Isaiah, such kind and tender words, revealing the weakness, the littleness of Israel, of Jacob, Judah. And yet God in his kindness and compassion will make of them greatness. Uses the example of a threshing floor and a threshing sledge, things that we, you know, use all the time these days, right? The whole idea of grain being separated from the refuse, right? The stalk and the dried stuff that covers the kernels and all of these things, and it must be beaten until all that remains is the grain. Huge fans, they would blow away everything of the refuse so that which was good and holy and, well, edible would remain, everything else being taken away. People of Jesus' time were very, very aware of this kind of understanding and this kind of work. We see in the Gospel of Matthew some of these cryptic phrases concerning John the Baptist. Recognition that John the Baptist, Jesus says it plainly, of those born of women, none have been greater than John. We recognize in the window here, in the church, in the Annunciation here, the Visitation here, the moment of Mary greeting Elizabeth, her being filled with the Holy Spirit, John anointed by the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb to prepare him for the work of reconciliation between fathers and sons and fathers, to prepare for the Lord's coming, to begin a process of reconciliation, to begin a process of recognizing fault, so that in the humbling of the people and the confession of their sins, they would be prepared to meet the Messiah who comes with the fullness of reconciliation and life. But Jesus also makes it clear that the one that is born into the kingdom that John announced, the one that is born into this kingdom, the littlest, the least, the most insignificant of all who are born in the kingdom is still greater than John. It doesn't speak of our greatness or John's lack of greatness. It speaks about the greatness of the kingdom. And what does it mean that we enter into it? What does it mean that our sins are washed clean and that we are reconciled with God, that his very life breath now dwells within us, the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit? So great and awesome the gift to be a part of the kingdom. So great and awesome the gift of the kingdom itself. Jesus recognizes that from the days of John the Baptist until the present moment, the kingdom has been suffering violence. Violence against it. The violent have been taking it by force. In my mind, it recalls another parable in which when the proclamation of the good news, right, is spoken and the word is sown and the crows come by and the birds snatch away the seed, right? They render violence, they take it, they steal it, they snatch it away. They're taking it by force. This good news of the invitation to enter into the kingdom of God, and yet the violent, those who are trying to seal up, to keep people from entering in, snatching away the word before it finds root within them. Jesus makes it very clear, all of the prophets and the law prophesied up to the time of John. They all spoke about this time. They all were pointing to the fulfillment. We will see this witnessed when the representative of the prophets, Elijah, and the representative of the law, Moses, appear beside Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration. Their presence in that moment of transfiguration was their witness and bearing testimony to everything that Jesus had done, all that had been written, all that had been prophesied, pointing to him. An invitation for the apostles to see and behold this evidence and witness before them. And then he says this, and if you're willing to accept it, speaking about John the Baptist, he is Elijah, the one who is to come. This refers to the prophecy in the book of Malachi, the book of the prophet Malachi. It's the very last part of the very last chapter, in which God promises to send Elijah to prepare for the Lord's coming. The people of Jesus' time believed that it would be fulfilled literally, that Elijah, who was taken up in the whirlwind and the chariot, that he didn't experience death but was taken up, would return in that same way and be alive to prepare the people. That's why when Jesus asked to ask the question of his disciples, says, you know, who do people say that I am, right? And some say, well, some say Elijah or John the Baptist or one of the prophets, right? They looked at Jesus and thought he himself was the prophet Elijah that had come back to prepare the people. But Jesus makes it very clear. And in Sunday's reading, we will hear that they will ask John whether or not he is Elijah, and he'll say no. He says, I'm just a voice of one crying out in the desert. But Jesus makes it clear in the gospel text today. He is indeed Elijah. He is John the Baptist, but he has come in the spirit of Elijah. Not the literal Elijah coming back, but the spirit of Elijah will rest upon John the Baptist to prepare the people for the encounter with the Lord. For us, my brothers and sisters, an invitation in the same way in our preparations for Advent to encounter the Lord, an invitation for humility, an invitation to recognize where we have fallen short, a recognition of our faults or sin, asking for forgiveness and mercy. Not just with the Lord, not just with the church, but especially amongst our family, our friends, our neighbors. You know, it's interesting sometimes through my friendships with those that are in 12-step programs, I know all these different steps and the different things and stuff, and there's some pretty intense stuff, like you need to go and you need to be reconciled with those that you've hurt. You need to try and make amends to them as best you can in the possibility of what you have done. Sometimes we just go to the confessional and we're like, yep, I'm good. Forgiven by God, forgiven by the church, I'm good to go. But also an invitation for us to encounter those that we have hurt, to encounter them, to ask for forgiveness, to express our sorrow, to make amends with them. We know in other places in the gospel it's kind of a warning, you know, the measure with which you measure out mercy will be measured back to you. And so the invitation, especially in this time, because we know we're going to celebrate Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Christmas Day, we will celebrate his coming. And the hope is that he will find us reconciled with those around us. It'd be terrible, wouldn't it, for Jesus to come and to see his example of mercy not extended to those that are a part of our life. I know at times, my brothers and sisters, it's difficult, but the example of mercy and compassion that is ours, the forgiveness that has already been granted to us, gives to us great courage to extend that same mercy and compassion to those that we meet. May we be prepared to welcome Jesus when he comes. Amen.